Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're concluding, I have the honor and privilege of concluding Pastor Walt's series on 1 Timothy. If you notice, if you're keeping up with the lectionary readings, he modified them somewhat so we could go through 1 Timothy 1 through 6. And here we are, 1 Timothy 6, and I'm focusing in on this verse. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. As I attempted to illustrate with the children's message, the struggle is real. Now, you've maybe heard that phrase before, maybe even used it. If you use social media, you often see people post a meme or something and it says, the struggle is real. And it's usually used with sarcasm and exaggeration. So, for example, on my long weekend, should I go fishing all day or hunting? The struggle is real. Should I purchase a two-bedroom, one-bath on 40 acres or a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath on a quarter acre in the suburbs? The struggle is real. But for those who have faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the struggle is real. No sarcasm, no exaggeration. The struggle is real. So real, in fact, that Paul, speaking to a young pastor, says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. The struggle is real. And we've been able to witness that struggle as we've gone through 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, a warning against false teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, admonition on how to pray. Paul talking about order and structure and even gender roles. Now, to understand part of why Paul was speaking specifically about gender roles, we need to understand a little of the context, the culture in which Paul and Timothy lived. You see, at that time, there was a big revolution that was taking place. A women's liberation movement, so to speak, where there was a new woman, a liberated woman, a woman who was able to go into positions of a power and authority, able to have a position of dominance, able to influence others. And as Paul talked about order and discipline within the church, he gave Timothy instructions on how men and women should function within God's congregation. We'll have a little more on that in just a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 3, qualifications for those who serve in the church. Order and structure. Qualifications. 1 Timothy chapter 4, talking about training in godliness and the necessity of good doctrine. Order, structure. 1 Timothy chapter 5, rules for widows and elders. Again, placing order and structure into the body of Christ as Timothy was to serve as their pastor. And here we are today, 1 Timothy chapter 6, which again is a warning against false teachers. And then it goes in to the words, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. You see, the struggle is real. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why is Paul so concerned with order, structure, discipline? Well, Paul spent a lot of his time in the scriptures of what we call the Old Testament. And to understand kind of what Paul is talking about and how he is addressing Timothy, we have to go all the way back to Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And if we went and read through Genesis 1, we would hear of how God created the entire universe. And what's interesting with God's creation of the universe is in each day of creation, God puts boundaries, order, and structure in place. This far and no further. These things can operate in this way, but not the other. And when it comes to the vegetation, they will reproduce each according to their kinds. When it comes to the animals, each according to their kind. Order and structure that God put in play with his universe so that it would last for an eternity. And when it came to God's creation of Adam and Eve, it was no different. In fact, God put order and structure and gender roles in place as he created Adam and Eve. Male and female, he created them, but with distinct roles and functions. You see, for Adam, God gave him the role and function of the protector and the provider. There was one tree in the garden that was not supposed to be eaten from. And God told Adam, this one tree, do not eat from it. Adam's role as the protector, stop people from eating from that tree. And then as the provider, everything else that's out here, take from that and give it to your family for their sustenance. Adam's role as the protector, the provider, the giver. And then as God worked his creation and created Eve from a part of Adam, he also gave Eve a specific role and function as the helper for Adam. And then as the receiver of the benefits and blessings from Adam, she could receive into her womb, and her role as the nurturer comes into play. We have the provider, the protector with Adam. We have the helper, the nurturer with Eve. And God says, this is good. Order, structure, a plan, and boundaries set in place. But then Adam and Eve decided to defy God's order and structure and actually reverse their roles. You see, when Eve went and grabbed the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she was becoming and stepping into Adam's role as the provider. As Adam slipped into the background, he relinquished his authority and responsibility to protect. And as Eve took a bite from the fruit, she then handed it to her husband. The receiver became the giver. The giver became the receiver. And where God had put order and structure in place, chaos ensued. The result of that chaos was that God separated Adam and Eve from the garden. God cursed their roles and their functions. In fact, he specifically cursed Adam's role and function as the protector and the provider. The curse for Adam? Well, now thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of your brow, you'll be able to provide for your family. Your role as the provider is going to be very, very difficult. And as the protector, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You can't save your own life, and you're not going to be able to save the lives of your family either. Eve's roles were also cursed. Your desire shall be for your husband. This isn't a good desire. This is the desire to continue usurping and taking that position of authority and responsibility. That tension and struggle and desire is part of the curse that God placed on Eve. And as far as her nurturing role, it is now cursed with pain in childbearing. And worst of all, God separated himself from Adam and Eve. No more face to face with God. You see, now face to face with God means death. From God's order and structure and boundaries, Adam and Eve rebelled with sin and chaos and reversing their roles. As we get to our reading, Old Testament reading for today, Genesis chapter 32, we see that for Adam and Eve, the struggle was real, and for Jacob, that struggle continued. You see, Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was going against God's plan in that he had two wives and two concubines, four women that he was having children with. He was a deceiver, stole his brother's birthright, deceived his father in his old age, and he even went in with the help of his mother to receive the firstborn blessing. And when his father said, "Who are you? What is your name?" he said, "I am Esau." And he received Esau's blessing. And then he had to run and go off to Laban. And there was more deception and more controversy. And now he has his family and he's running from Laban. And he comes to Esau in the wilderness and he thinks it's going to be big trouble. And somehow this gets smoothed over. But in our reading for today, after his encounter with Esau, after he's been reminded of his deception, he goes off by himself and he finds himself wrestling with God all night long. The struggle is real. And as he wrestled with God, as he held on to the promise that was given to Abraham and to Isaac, and that he knew was his, as he held on to that promise, God caught him in all of his deception and said, "What is your name?" And he comes clean and says, "My name is Jacob." And God immediately says, "You have a new name. Your name is Israel." And instead of cursing him, he blessed him. Instead of him coming face to face with God and dying, he comes out of it with a blessing and a new name. God reversing the curse. You see, when there is face to face contact with God, someone has to die. The struggle is real. As we transition back to 1 Timothy, as we begin to understand Paul looking at this world that had gone into chaos, into this world where roles were reversed, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we can hear a little differently. Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. You see, God's blessing, God's promise, God's reversal of the curse comes with a woman bearing a child. Mary is the woman who once again receives from God, not with the help of a man, receives through the Holy Spirit a child which she nurtures in her womb and in pain gives birth to Christ Jesus, who is the man who can again assume the role of the ultimate protector and provider. Because every time Jesus was faced with the temptation to sin, to go outside of the boundaries that God had put in place, he held fast. The struggle for Jesus was real, and the struggle took him all the way to the cross. And here at the cross, we see the reason that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the reason he did not die, because Jacob came face to face with God. Mary came face to face with God. We come face to face with God, and God dies. The reversal of the curse. The only true human to ever come about, Jesus Christ, the true man, the protector, who takes on death on the cross. The provider who from his side flows out water and blood. You see, what's so incredible about this curse reversal is that in your baptism, you receive a new name. Just as Jacob's name was changed to Israel, in our baptism we have God's name placed upon us. And as God reverses this curse, and as Paul is speaking to Timothy and telling Timothy, this is the order, this is the structure, this is how your church should operate and function, this church gives witness to the world. You wonder why you look at our world today and you see all this confusion about gender and sexuality. It's all out rebellion against God's created order. And God has put order and structure back into his church in calling men to be pastors, to be in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a wonderful gift in Pastor Walt, someone who is willing to guard you against false teaching and doctrine, someone who is willing to forgive your sins, someone who is willing to give you the body and blood of Christ Jesus, because the struggle is real. And for us today as men, God is putting us back into our position as protectors and providers. We have the responsibility to lead our families, to stand in that place, to read God's word, to share devotion, to pray with our families, to be that protector and that provider. God is putting his restoration in place. As women, we have the role and the responsibility to be the receivers, to be the helpers and the supporters and the nurturers. And as Christian men and women get married, raise children, celebrate anniversaries, we shout out to the world that Jesus is our husband, who is the giver. We are his bride, the receiver, and we show the world through the order and the structure and the boundaries that God is restoring his kingdom. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.